Good morning, everybody. Before I start this morning, I just want to announce on Wednesday, we're doing a Bible study on Wednesday that is about faith. It's going to be a very important Bible study. I believe the church needs to know more about faith. I not just mean this church, I mean the church generally. I believe faith is one of the most important subjects and we know very little about it. And so I'll be talking on Wednesday about the importance of faith, the power of faith and the potential of faith. And I'll guarantee that a lot of you, if you come, a lot of you will not have heard some of the things that I'm going to be saying with regards to faith. I mean, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's not my word, that's God speaking. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I think there's a lot of faith lacking in the churches of Jesus Christ nationwide. And so I'm going to be talking about faith. So could you make this Wednesday an exception? Get here for about 10 to 7, have a cup of tea and a cake with us, and then 8 o'clock just after it will be finished. We'll be finished, but you need to hear this message. Now, I've got a scripture from Psalm 11, and it's a psalm of David's, Psalm 11, interesting psalm. I believe this psalm is a prophetic psalm. And David says, "In the Lord I take refuge. How then can you say to me?" Now he quotes, he's saying, "I take refuge into God." Then he's saying to people who are around him, "How can you say to me," quote, "flee like a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" Unquote. Then David says, "The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord is on his heavenly throne." Can you say amen to that? "But the wicked, the Lord examines the righteous, but the wicked and those who love violence, his soul hates. On the wicked he will rain fiery coals and burning sulfur. A scorching wind will be their lot. For the Lord is righteous. He loves justice. Upright men will see his face." And so the title of my message this morning is, "When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" David would obviously go through a time of difficulty and trauma, and people were against him and what he stood for. People were wanting to drag him down and pull him down from the throne. And some of those who were close to him were saying to him, "Flee, run, get away, flee like a bird to your mountain, David. For look, the wicked bend their bows. They set their arrows against the strings to shoot from the shadows at the upright in heart. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do?" When the foundations of our society, of our nation, of our families are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, many scriptures, particularly Psalms, are prophetic, but they have a meaning for the time in which they were written, and this is obvious. It was something that David was going through, but I believe this is one of those Psalms that is double-barreled. It has a prophetic word for those back then, but I believe that this psalm is a prophetic word for the day and age in which we're living in. I believe this psalm is pointing to the last days. Let me say, and I want everybody to listen, I believe we're in the last days. I believe there's not much time left for this earth. People will laugh at that and mock at that and ridicule that. And maybe people even listening to me today would laugh and say, "Don't be so ridiculous." But when the foundations are being destroyed, when I look at our nation, when I look at the Western world, I see foundations being destroyed. If you're in a home, no matter how good that home may appear, if the foundations start to collapse, the home will collapse. The foundations of society are very, very important. The foundations of morality, of righteousness, of truth, and of purity, and of God, the foundations that God has laid are being destroyed. And the world is laughing at it. The world is mocking God. There are foundations that are being destroyed. And the question comes, what can the righteous do? What can you do? I never thought that I would live long enough to see the things I've seen in my lifetime. I never thought, I got saved at the age of 15. I never thought that 50, 40, 30 years ago, things would be happening in Australia, let alone America, England, and Europe. In Australia, things would be happening that are destroying, weakening the foundations of our society. I never thought I would see it. The way that we've accepted open sexuality, immorality, fornication, adultery, and it goes on and on and on. The things that are being taught, the things that are being said against the church. And if you're a Christian today, you are ridiculed. If you go to church today, you are ridiculed. If you are a Christian, people will laugh at you and mock at you and say how stupid and how foolish you are. If you dare to say, I believe the Bible, people will mock you. That's the day and age in which we're living. You never hear good things said about Jesus Christ from our radios, our newspapers, or our televisions. You can hear them say things about everything and everybody else, but when it comes to Jesus, it's such words as, oh, Jesus Christ. That's what it's blasphemy all over. All over our nation, every day, people are blaspheming the name of Jesus. And nobody is doing anything about it. If you blasphemed Muhammad in Australia the way that Jesus is blasphemed, there would be a lot of people very, very angry. Can I tell you this? And they won't dare do it because of that. But the Christian becomes a target. They were saying to David, run away, David. Get away from this. You're a target, man. They want to drag you down because you're a righteous man standing for truth. They want to kill you. They're shooting the arrows at you from the shadows. You don't see where the arrows are coming from, but they're shooting from the shadows at you. And can I say that they're shooting from the shadows at you in this day and age? The devil wants to drag you down. He wants to pull you down. He wants to shut your mouth. He wants to stop you standing. He wants to shake your foundations so that you will feel like fleeing as a bird to the mountains. And the question is, what can the righteous do when they're doing to our nation what they are doing? I've got three things to answer. Three things that we can do. And the first thing is, are you ready? And I don't know whether I've impressed anybody yet. I don't know whether you realize that your foundations are being destroyed. And if you don't, shame on you. Because where are you looking? What are you doing? What are you thinking? What can the righteous do? And what is a righteous person? You're not righteous because you're trying to be good. You're righteous because of the blood of Jesus Christ. We sang one of my favorite songs this morning. I love a bit of a country western style in that. We're forgiven, washed in the blood. The past has gone. Glory to God. When you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, He makes you righteous. You have the righteousness of Jesus, not your righteousness, but His. If you are a Christian and a follower of Jesus Christ, you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. You're not ashamed to say, I've been washed in the blood. I was just reading just a few weeks ago about a huge church in America that started to say to its members, we've got to stop talking about the blood and gore of the cross. In fact, we've got to stop talking about the cross altogether and the death of Jesus and the blood that He shed. A church is saying this. A big church in America, finding it offensive to talk about Jesus dying and shedding His blood for the sins of the world. Well, let me tell you, I believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm only righteous because of His blood, not because I'm good, but because He's made me good in Him. What can the righteous do? Number one, are you ready for this? What can the righteous do? Very simple, the first one is, keep close to God. Dave, when they said this to David, I love his answer. He said, the Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is on His heavenly throne. When they said, David, take a run. David, go, flee. The foundations are being destroyed all around you. Just look at society is crumbling. He says, God is still on the throne. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, God is still on the throne? We used to sing a chorus donkeys years ago. I won't try and sing it to you now. But it says, God is still on the throne and he will remember his own. He will. He remembers you. He's on the, God is not destroyed. The foundations of God are solid. Stay close to God. James says, draw near to God and God will draw near to you. That's what James tells us. Draw near, come near to God. And if you're not near to God, then I tell you, your foundations are going to be rattled. You're going to crumble. Many people are backsliding today. Many people won't be in church today because their foundations are crumbling. They're not staying close to God. You've got to stay close to God. You've got to draw near to God. Notice the scripture says, you draw near to God, and God will draw near to you. But do you know what our prayer is like so often? Oh, God, come close to me. God, come close, come close. God's saying, hey, you come close. Do you know why? Because he already came close in the person of Jesus Christ. He shed his blood. He died on the cross. God became man. He couldn't become closer to us than Jesus Christ. And if he is close to us, God is now saying to you, well, you come close to me. You want me? Come close. Come get me. I'm here. Amen? Amen. Seek the Lord while he may be found, Isaiah said. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You got to do it. You've got to stay close to God. Well, you'll be laughed at if you start talking to people like that, because people say to you, God? There is no God. We came from evolution. We came from the Big Bang Theory. Why would you want to believe in God? Man is self-sufficient. He has evolved to become his own God. Have you ever known a day and age where people worship themselves as much as this day and age? I haven't. I'd say I've lived long enough to be able to see the worship that's turned onto the human being. We worship ourselves. We treat ourselves as if we're little gods. Well, let me just tell you something. There is a God. And do you know why I believe in God? Because it's easier to believe in him than it is in the Big Bang Theory. Because the Big Bang Theory says, nothing made everything. And do you know one of the foremost things about science is cause and effect? Every cause has an effect. So everything that has an effect started with a cause. And in science, the cause is always bigger and stronger than the effect. What do they tell us? There was nothing, and the cause was nothing, but the effect is the cosmos. They go against their own teaching. They go against their own scientific proof that of cause and effect. They will say to you, where did it all come from? Nowhere. What caused it all? Nothing. Because there was nothing there to cause it. The moment they say something caused it, at that moment, you've got to start thinking about God. But if there's no God, there is nothing. And they want me to believe that somehow, some way, a big bang occurred, whether it, and they don't know what the big bang was, and they don't know where it was. And listen to this, they say how long ago it happened. Come on, they could tell you how long ago. And not only that, they could tell you within the millimeter of a second after the bang what has started to happen. And then just seconds later, they can start to tell you. And within a minute, they could tell you how that the cosmos was being formed. All from?
Nothing.
All from?
Nothing.
All from?
Nothing.
So nothing causes incredible effect. Come on. I want to tell you what created the heavens and the earth, God. And you can laugh at him, you can mock him, you can say he doesn't exist, but I'm going to tell you something, he really does. He really does. One of the greatest atheists of all time, who wrote books against God, wrote books against them. On his deathbed, the last words he said, do you know what they were? Now for a leap into the dark. Because he didn't really know. He wasn't really sure. Now for a leap into the dark. Can I say this? Because of his lack of faith in God, he leapt into the dark. Do you know when death comes to you? Not that it'll come to a Christian because we fall asleep, but at the death, do you know what we do? We take a leap into light. Come on, totally different. Totally different. It takes more faith to be an atheist than to be a believer in Jesus Christ. I had an atheist friend of mine for years when I worked in a factory back in England, and he was a union leader. At that time it was in the 60s when communism was rife and Russia was growing, and it was going to spread all around the world. And this guy was always arguing with me about God, and I said to him once, I want to ask you a question, but I want you to answer me absolutely honestly. And he looked at me, I said, no, I'm serious, because we had many discussions. I said, I want you to be honest in your answer. And if you're not going to be honest, just don't answer me. He said, okay, John. He was a much older man than me. I was just a teenager. I said to him, you don't believe in God? No, I don't. I keep telling you, John, there's no God. And I asked him this question. I said, do you ever pray? I said, now, I want the truth. This is an ardent communist atheist. I said, do you ever pray? He looked at me. And he says, yeah, when things go wrong. I'm telling you, that's what he said. He was being honest. He wouldn't say that to anybody else, but he told me he'd be honest about that. And I want to tell you that God is real. And you can draw near to him. You listening to me right now, online, God is real. Draw near to God. If you will make the effort, if you will knock, the door will be open. If you will seek, you will find. The Bible promises that God is close to us. He's waiting for us to come to him. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Come to God. Don't be stupid and think there's nothing. You're going to get such a shock when the end time comes, and then you see the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the Almighty who created everything. And you may say, well, who created God? Well, it's a stupid question to ask, because if God was created, he wouldn't be God. He's been self-existing. He is eternal, ever-present. He occupies the whole of space. He's mighty, strong, and powerful. And he looks at this earth, and he sees these puny little pinpricks of human beings telling him he doesn't exist. Come on. Telling God that all of this came from nothing. And not one scientist can show you how that happened. And then they say, but life, you know, when it was dead matter all around us, but life evolved from chemical activities, and it just sprung into being. They've been trying in their labs for donkey's years to produce life. And they've tried every chemical known to man to mix them, juddle them, and never have they proved that life can come from nothing. Life cannot come from that which is inanimate. So I'm telling you now, don't be stupid. Stay close to God. Amen? I'm talking to you Christians here. Stay close to God. When the foundations are being destroyed, don't run. Don't turn your back. Don't get frightened and run. Stay close to God. And don't be afraid to tell people you believe in God. Don't be afraid to say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't be afraid to say to people, I fear God. If he created it all, I better fear him. If he's a creator, the maker, hey, you don't mess with God. You don't play about with God. You don't think, treat God as if he's Father Christmas, because he ain't. He's almighty, all-powerful, righteous, holy, just. He's awesome. He is God. And we need the fear of the Lord, which is, the Bible says, the beginning of wisdom. Amen. Well, that was a good point, wasn't it? That way I enjoyed that one myself. Second point. And I like this one. Second point. First is to stay close to God. The second point is to stay in God's word. Stay in the word. I want to read a scripture from 2 Timothy, chapter 4. And I put a bit of paper in there to find a spot, but it's gone. But I found it now. Listen to this scripture. Paul is speaking to Timothy. It was a young man who was coming into the ministry. He became a great pastor, Timothy did. But Paul says, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. So he's saying, in view of God, in view of his kingdom, in view of this God who and Jesus Christ who will judge the living and the dead, in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I give you this charge. I'm charging you. Listen to what he says. Preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. You can't preach the word if you don't stay in the word. When the foundations are being destroyed, what do? Preach the word. When the foundations are being destroyed, what do? Preach the word. And this is what he says to him. Preach the word. Be prepared in season, out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now listen to this. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, they will gather together around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. I'm preaching a pretty tough sermon this morning. I'm not scratching your ears. Have you noticed that? I'm not patting you on the back and saying what a good little individual you are. No, I'm not scratching your itching ears. There's a lot of preachers out there that are. There's a lot of preachers that want to just tell people, come to God and you'll have nothing but prosperity. You'll have nothing but everything will be great for you. Come on. I don't know what Bible they're reading. They're certainly not reading the Bible that I'm reading. And he's saying to Timothy, preach the word, be prepared in season, out of season, correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience, careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. I like that. So my second bit of advice to you Christians today is stay in the word. And if you're not in it, shame on you. You're idiots. If you don't get into God's word, you're not even going to know when the foundations are being destroyed, let alone what to do about it. Too many Christians don't, and I know, John, you're just saying, preachers talk about the Bible. That it's the most important book there is. Let me just tell you, when you go to heaven, you can't take your clothes with you, or your car, or your house, or your bank account. You can't take anything. The only thing you could take to heaven with you are people who you led to Jesus Christ. Can't take anything else. And the only thing that will be in heaven that's on earth now, are you ready? The only thing in heaven that's on earth now that you will find there will be you, because you're a Christian, and the Bible. The Bible is in heaven. The Word of God is in heaven, and it will be there for eternity. It will never pass away. The Bible says to us, His Word endures forever. They've tried to discredit it. They've tried to disprove it. They've torn it to bits, ripped it to bits, burnt it. People have been tortured and burned at stakes because they believe in the Bible and they wanted the Bible to come to you. You've got the Bible today in English in your hands. Other nations have got their Bible in their own language. Can I say, hundreds, if not thousands, of people died to get you your Bible? People died horrible, brutal deaths so you could have a Bible. How dare you take your Bible, put it on a shelf, and not bother with it? How dare you have your Bible on your phone and never read it? How dare you look more at Facebook than you do at the Word of God, and you wonder why your life's falling apart? It's falling apart because Facebook is not the Bible. Facebook is a book. It's not the book. Neither is Shakespeare. Neither any of the other. The only book that's going to be in... I'm going to tell you, Shakespeare's books won't be in heaven. The quality of mercy is not strained. Droppeth a gentle dew from heaven upon the place beneath. It is twice... No, it won't be in heaven. God's word will be in heaven. The just shall live by faith. Faith in the word of God. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to tear it up, burn it. They've tried to discredit it. Still the best-selling book in the world today. Hallelujah. Come on. Tis. Read it. Read it. Read it. Read it. And read it again. I have seen foundations being destroyed. The thing that's keeping me sane in this day and age is God's word. Friends, I learned the word of God and I started to read it when I couldn't read. I taught myself to read by reading the Bible after getting saved. I've kept myself in the word. And never will a day go that I don't read God's word. It's my food. Just like I wouldn't want a day to go without eating naturally. You know, I wouldn't want that. I want to tell you, I'd sooner not eat naturally rather than go without the word. It's the best food there is. Tells us to keep God's word in our mouth. That's what it tells us. Put God's word in your mouth. Eat it. Digest it. Oh, glory to God. I hope I've upset some of you. Some of you are not reading your Bible. Shame on you. Stupid. Foolish. It's God's word. The just shall live by faith. And that faith is in God's word. You put faith in the word. Don't put faith in politicians. Not too many. You're not sure about that one, are you? I'm preaching the right message, Lord. I know I am. Did you hear that response? Terrible. Don't put your faith in politicians, in leaders in this world, because I'm telling you right now, don't put your faith in politics. Don't put your faith in entertainment. Don't put your faith in sport. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them. I like sport. I like entertainment. I look at politics, not I'm too interested in that. But I'm telling you, the thing to put your faith in is in God's word. Don't put your hand up when I ask this question. Don't put your hand up. Don't put your hand up. Don't. But how many of you have not read the Bible much this week? Don't put your hand up. Because God can see it. He's the one to, I don't want to see it. I don't want to be ashamed of you. But I tell you this. God looks at you and think, pathetic. Pathetic. Haven't you learned that my word lives and abides forever? That my word keeps you on the straight and narrow. That my word feeds you, nourishes you. That my word leads you. That my word is a love letter from me to you. I have written to you beautiful love letters. Read them. Read them. Read them. And read them. Time's going fast. I'm not even halfway through that one yet, but the last one. The last one. That was good. Keep close to God. Stay in God's word. Good. Now this one, Lord, I know it's going to upset people. I know it is. But I'm going to say it because I believe it's the truth. What else can the righteous do when the foundations have been destroyed? Well, we stay close to God. We stay in His Word. Number three, we keep coming to church. What? Yeah, we keep coming to church. And let me tell you something about church. It's God's idea. It's not man did not invent church. Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Hallelujah! It's His. So don't you call it. Don't you? I've lived long enough. I've pastored several churches. I've met thousands of Christians. And I've heard Christians calling Christians, moaning about other Christians. And I've heard people saying, I'm not going to that church. A bunch of hypocrites say. Well, what do you expect? It's a church. A church is a hospital, a spiritual hospital. Imagine if I say to you, well, somebody I know is sick in hospital. Will you go visit them for me? And you said to me, oh, I'm not going to hospital. There are sick people there. Well, what would you expect to find in hospital? Sick people getting better. The church is not a perfect place. Never was, never meant to be. If it was, you wouldn't be here. It'd have kept you out to start with. If he wanted to invent a perfect place, church, he would have kept you guys out. Because you're pathetic. I am pathetic. We're sinners saved by grace. We're not perfect. We do things wrong. But let me just say this. The church is God's wonderful idea. And it's called, listen to this. Next time you think about calling the church, listen to this. The church is called the bride of Christ. And it says he's going to return for a spotless bride. His church, in his eyes, is beautiful. Now, I have married lots of people, and I've never conducted one wedding where there was a couple at the front looking like dags. The woman particularly, she spends hours on herself, hours. And the next day, you see her, and you think, oh, was that you yesterday? Yeah, because the bride is so beautiful. Is that right? Come on, you know what I'm saying? Well, when he calls you and me the bride of Christ, I'm thinking, where are you looking, Lord? But he's looking at us through the eyes of Christ. Do you know what you look like in his sight? Beautiful. Do you know what I look like in his sight? Handsome. Because I'm a child of God. And he's adopted me into his family, into his church. And the word church just simply means called out ones. We called out from the world to serve our God. Yes. Don't criticize the church. Now, there are some churches I know that you perhaps think, this isn't for me. That's okay. If you feel it's not for you and you need to find a church that really is, that's okay. I've got no problem with that. But find one. Yes. Don't go wandering around. Yes. Don't do that. Find a church. And try to come to church every week if you can. Now, if you're sick, I understand that. People are watching this online. Some people are working shifts. I understand that. Some people are sick and can't get. But let me say, if you're not sick and you're not doing something really important to help someone else, and you should be here. Sorry, I can't. You should be here. The Bible says, not John Warwick, in Hebrews it says, don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Yes. One or two amens. Can't say that again. I wish I could get down amongst you. If it wasn't for that camera, I'd be down there right amongst you. Don't neglect the assembling of yourselves together. Yes. Now, I understand when you're sick, I understand, no problems. Things happen. Kids get sick. I understand that. But when you can be here, come. I was trying to count on my hand the other day the number of times I've missed church on a Sunday in 64 years. Listen, 64 years. I've got a wife. I had 3 kids. I worked a secular job. Very poorly paid job. I can count on one hand the number of Sundays I did not come to church in 64 years. Because I believe in church. Have I always liked going to church? No. Have I always liked what the pastor said? No, like some of you don't like what I'm saying now. That's okay. I've not always liked it, but I'll tell you this. It's God's idea, not mine. He says, John, go to church. And one of the best things I found when I got born again was I got a family here. The family I had was dysfunctional. And I came to church, and guess what? They're dysfunctional as well. However, the church I found are dysfunctional in a loving way. Come on. We're lovingly dysfunctional. We haven't got it all together, but we're lovingly dysfunctional. Can you say amen? I thank God for you. You're my brothers and sisters. I've got natural brothers and sisters, and I want to tell you that the Church of Jesus Christ, you two are my brothers and sisters. And listen, you may say, oh, but your natural family is closer than what we are because blood is thicker than water. And I answer people like this. You're right. Blood is thicker than water. But the people in the church that I go to are all purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ. I've got royal blood flowing in my veins. Hallelujah. Not just because my name is Warwick. My name is Warwick. In England, there's a city of Warwick, the town of Warwick. There's a castle called Warwick. There's an Earl of Warwick. Royalty. There's royalty somewhere. I'm not bothered about that. The royalty I have is in Jesus. Amen. Time has gone. If the musos can come forward just now. Time has gone. I haven't even started the sermon yet, but it's gone. I'm saying this to you. Listen, stay close to God. Stay in His Word, the Bible, and keep coming to church. And when you do, speak good about the church. If you speak ill about somebody that has upset you, don't do that. Learn to forgive. Learn to realize that you too have got your faults. You're not perfect yet, but one day we will be. Amen. Now, wasn't that, I reckon that was a pretty good sermon in spite of not being finished. And I would say this, I'm not going to give an appeal, because you know who I preached to this morning? John Warwick. I preached to me. So if I give an appeal, I would expect to be down here with others. Because I've preached, I hope, to everybody here. Has nobody gone to sleep, have they? Did you go to sleep? No. If you went to sleep during that one, there's something mentally wrong with you. We owe so much to Him. Father, we know the foundations are being destroyed. We know that satanic powers want to destroy the foundations on which You've built us, but we stand firm in the goodness of our God, in the love of our God, in the grace of our God. And we know, Lord, there's not much time left. And we know that the days are going to get even worse. We know that. We know bad things, sad things are coming. But we stand in You, Lord, and Your peace and Your joy sustain us 24/7. Thank You, Father. Help us all, Lord, to rededicate ourselves to You today. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all.